Let's go to the Word of God tonight, 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13. Just one verse, verse 20. After we get out of the holidays, we will get back into the minor prophets. But we've been thinking a lot about Christmas, and I want us to be thinking now for the next two or three messages about vision, the future, what we need to do, what we ought to do. God has blessed me tremendously. I could testify for a long time tonight about the blessings of God that I have experienced this last year. And I would imagine that you can too. If we were to have a testimony meeting like we have sometimes, I'm sure that many of you could testify about the goodness of God and what God has done for you. And probably some of you right now are thinking about some of those things that have run through your mind. But at the very same time that we begin to testify about the goodness of God and the blessings of God and what He's done for us in the last year, Satan attacks us immediately to try to defeat us in the new year. You do know he's your enemy and my enemy. And look at this verse, 2 Kings 13 and verse 20. The scripture says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him." And then notice this part, "And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year." The band of the Moabites invaded, attacked the people in the land at the coming in of the new year. That reminds me of the devil fighting us, because he is going to fight us. And the things that he's going to throw at us are not good things. There are so many different things that could be categorized as the Moabites in our life. Let's call them the enemy. Satan being behind him. What are some of those things? Well, one would be he would attack you on a past failure and keep trying to bring that up in your mind and in your heart to try to defeat you at the very outset, the very beginning of a chronometric measure we have called a year. And so he'll try to make you think of, oh, I failed there, and I don't know if God has really forgiven me. Friend, if you confess your sin and turn from it, God forgave you. Don't let it hang around your place. Confess it, get it over with, and let God be your victory. And sometimes Satan will attack us there. Certainly the word discouragement comes to mind. How Satan will try his best to discourage you, especially in the work of God. Right now, as you might be thinking about the things for the new year, he'll try to discourage you. He'll try to bring in lukewarmness in your life this year. He does not want you to keep the spirit of revival. If you got it last year and had it and have carried through, he will fight you on that, because he does not want this church or the individuals who make up this church to continue with revival. He would rather we were lukewarm and we're the total sum of all the members of the church. So if you are lukewarm, then that's going to impact the church. The devil would love to have us and attack us by having us to be lukewarm and to have no vision. And without a vision, you know the saying, you know the word of God, the people perish. Immorality may be a problem that you've had in the past, and you got that all straightened out, but Satan is going to try to come back in your life and trouble you with whatever that bad habit or situation might be that you've allowed in the past that you thought you had victory over, and you can continue to have victory. I'm just saying that Satan is going to attack as we sort of clean the slate and look down the road to try to have some good things and newer things. He'll attack you on the lack of faith. There will be some folks who gave last year and gave faithfully in their stewardship, who somewhere along the way, if they're not careful this year, when things are not just what they should be financially, they will allow Satan to cause them to not have faith, giving faith to give to the Lord. It may be the disappointment of others. It may be some bad habits, not necessarily immoral habits. It may be that you have read through the Bible last year and you really improved your Bible reading, and that's good, but he's going to attack you on that. Your prayer life, witnessing. If you led somebody to the Lord last year, praise God for it, or a number of people. But Satan doesn't like that, so he's going to attack you. You could testify about how wonderful it was to win somebody to Christ. It may be self-pity. It may be envy. It may be pride. It may be jealousy. It may be wanting to be accepted by the world. It may be failing to schedule our time in a way that is pleasing to God. And you can add to that many things, no doubt, that the Spirit of God might speak to your heart about. But before we hardly get the testimonies out, we can count on the fact that Satan is going to attack us with these things, and they'll be like the frogs in the curse of Egypt. They're going to be everywhere, in the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the bathroom, wherever you work, wherever it is. These things are going to be there to try to pull us down. What is their errand? What was their errand, the Moabites? It was to defeat these people. They invaded the land of Israel, and they invaded it to defeat them. That's their purpose. And the devil would love to defeat everybody in this building. He doesn't care how he does it. He would love to get you down, to defeat you in some way in your life. And when he does, then he ruins your testimony. And when your testimony is hurt, then the cause of Christ is hurt. And then he's very happy about that, because he doesn't want the cause of Christ to go forward. He hates God. He hates you. He hates us. He hates Bible-believing churches. The Moabites, the spiritual enemies, have come in to destroy. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Now, how should we treat these Moabites as they come in? How should we treat these enemies that are going to attack our lives? Well, number one, I think we ought to meet them with the Word of God. That's a sharp sword. And so when they attack, meet the devil, the Moabites, the demonic forces of hell, as these symbolize, meet them with the Word of God. And so many times we can defeat the devil just by quoting a verse of Scripture in that particular area where he's trying to get us down. And there are many verses in there, whether it's in the Psalms or Proverbs or wherever it may be. They're there for us to go to. We need to also meet him with faith. The Moabites are going to attack us. Let's have faith and believe that God can give us the victory. And have faith in God, and God is the one that's going to win the battle. The battle's the Lord's anyway. We have our responsibility, but God has to give us strength. We have to believe God and trust God no matter what comes in our lives. And then we need to use the weapon, obviously. And these are just the rudimentary things, the elementary things, but so often we forget them. The weapon of prayer. How important is that weapon of prayer? To stay right now on our knees before God, so that we can have power with God and power for God and for the glory of God. There's other artillery we can use. We need to learn to say to the devil, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We need to say, "I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." We have that right, you know. And we can claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and resist the devil as he attacks us. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Another thing we can do is remember God's past faithfulness. Was God faithful to you this past year? He was to me. Don't ever forget it. And always realize that if he was faithful in the year past, he is there. He is the immutable, unchangeable God who will be faithful to you in the year that is coming ahead. God does not change. We need to be encouraged by this fact. God loves you. God loves you tonight. Do you know that? God hadn't forgotten about you. God is watching you. God knows you. God loves you. God loves me. And God wants to bless us. And God wants to see us victorious because He loves us. We can also claim the promises He's given us. I'm glad the Bible is replete with promise upon promise upon promise. And we can claim those promises and go to those promises and believe what God says in every situation, that He will take care of it. And He has the remedy for everything that we face. His promises are true. Claim those promises. Shoot them at the devil. We have, as I said, the power of the blood. Always remember that God is on your side and God is on my side. He loves us tonight. We're His children. And He wants us to have victory. Now, are there some other visitors that we should welcome? These are some that we don't want to welcome in any way in the new year as we think about it, as we're approaching it. We don't want to welcome those, but there are some we should welcome, some good visitors. They would be those that are the friends of Jesus, not those that are the friends of the Moabites, nor the Moabites. And what are some things we can do to help us out? These are good things that we ought to welcome in our life. One of them would be to serve God. Make up your mind that as you look down the road, you're going to serve God. And that'll be something that is good and helpful in our lives. Welcome friends, that is, in the way of an attitude that I'm going to serve God. God is going to be number one in my life. I'm going to serve God. Another good friend would be to determine you're going to help others and not look at yourself so much. You know, if we'll lose ourselves in others, ministering to others, we'll forget a lot of our problems and a lot of our difficulties as we minister to other people, help them. One of the ways we can do that is visit sick folks or shut-ins and help them. There are some lonely people out there that need somebody to visit them and come by and say, we care enough about you to show you that we love you. Well, that is a good thing to have in our lives in this coming year, that kind of desire to help others and the attitude of encouraging one another. There's too much discouragement. We need to encourage one another. And that's a good friend we ought to welcome and say, I welcome encouragement to myself, and I want to be an encouragement to others. I welcome these things in my life. And then whenever we do all of that, then I believe the enemy will find fewer opportunities to whip us or to defeat us, because our lives are given to God. We're serving. We have a purpose. We're helping others. We're reaching out, especially to the unsaved, to try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can count on God's protection, I believe, if we're serving Him. If we're serving the Lord, we can pretty well believe that He's really in that business with us. If we're not, then we have no right to believe that God has any reason to watch us, watch over us and protect us with His total protection. So we need fervent prayer, Bible reading, meditation, all of this. These are welcome things in our life. And if we have those things, there's no need to worry about the Moabites, because we're going to have the victory, even though they're going to attack. Then invade the enemy's territory ourselves. Don't just wait for the attack. You know, the armor of God really doesn't have anything on the backside. It's all designed for somebody who's in the charge mode. I mean, ready to charge and to march on as a Christian soldier. And we put on all of that. We ought to do it every day. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Lord, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That means we ought to get busy as soldiers of the cross going forward. Instead of Him possessing our land, why don't we possess some of His land? Why don't we tear down some of His strongholds? Why don't we make a difference in what is going on in the world, where He seems to have so much liberty and freedom? I was listening to a couple This morning on the plane, a young couple, the one young fellow talked about three languages he's already learned, and he's fixing to learn, getting ready to learn Russian. He knows English and Spanish and also French. And I was listening to him. I thought he must be a very smart young man. They talked for 3 hours and 15 minutes and never quit, right in my ears. And I was trying to read my Bible, but I kept listening to what they were saying, listening to them. And they were, the whole context of their conversation was so secular and so unlike Christ and so unlike what the Bible teaches. The young man said, they didn't know each other, so they got on the plane. He said, I think that one thing we need to do in our lives is have some trial runs at marriage and live together a little while and just see if it's going to work out. Because he said, you know, whoever you're going to live with, you're going to be living with them the rest of your life and so on and so forth. And you ought to, it might be good to find out if you're compatible in all of these different areas. Then he talks about two areas being the most important areas in your life. One was your occupation, the other was your love life. And then they elaborated their ignorance on that a little while. And then they went on and on and on about stuff. It was amazing. Then they started downing parents, started downing adults. Why, he said, if you believe what your mom and daddy taught you and those principles, that will hamstring you, that'll hurt you, that'll keep you from being the real person you are. And it will keep you from having the freedom that you want to have, on and on and on, and all of that. You know, I think we need to get out there. That's the devil. That's the language of the Moabites. But I think we need to get out there, win some people to Christ, and take the Bible and show them what's right. I kept wanting to hold my Bible over the seats, but I didn't want to make a scene. Honest, I didn't. And I was glad there was a woman sitting right across the aisle from me, and she got into the conversation after a little bit and began to give them a little lecture about adults, and I was so glad. But these are college graduates. They're working on their doctor's degrees right now, going there, and this is their thinking. We need to attack the devil's lies and that kind of thing. And one of the best ways we can do it is win people to Christ and then disciple them and teach them the Bible. Teach them the Word of God. I like to take my Bible out on the plane. It makes everybody around you nervous. You know, it just, unless they're saved. But sometimes it does open the door for an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. So we need to invade. The point is that we need to invade the enemy's territory. Win people to Christ. Invade his territory. If we have to have war, then why let them come? Let's go fight them and whip them before they get over here. That's why I believe America ought to have a strong military, and sometimes we need to fight the battle over there before it gets here in order to keep it from getting over here. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Invade his territory. Tear down his strongholds, his toeholds, his footholds, whatever it may be. Tear them down. And they're in three categories: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we need to attack those areas. Now, what does the Lord expect? What does the Lord deserve? What does God deserve? I think he deserves for us to make this year a very blessed year and a wonderful year for his honor and for his glory. Whatever it takes, whatever it is. And we're going to have the Moabites attacking us. But thank God we can have the victory. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's absolutely no reason for us to fear the Moabites. We can win the battle by doing what God tells us to do. Get rid of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. All of that, fight it through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. And then we can come to another year after this year and say, thank God I had victory over Satan and over the Moabites. They didn't beat me, not in any area of my life. I won the battle by the grace of God to his glory. Let's stand, please. There are some unwelcome visitors at the beginning as we think about a new year. May God help us to not allow them in our lives, whatever it may take to do that. What does God expect and what does God deserve out of you and me as we think about the future? Father, I pray if there's someone here without Christ that tonight they'd be saved, that they would be able to face the future knowing they're going to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that as saved people, the rest, that we would obey you and do what you've told us to do. It may be to make a public profession of faith and come forward in a service. It may be to follow you in believers' baptism. It may be some other area in our lives that you've spoken to us about tonight. Something that the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts about. Whether it means reading our Bibles more, reading it in a certain way, or coming to church more, taking notes in church, learning more, making sure that our children are in church, whatever it may be. Oh God, may you help us to make the right decisions about church, about prayer, about the Bible, about witnessing, about sin, about serving you. May you help us tonight. Speak to our hearts in Christ's name.